Y'all ready for this?
She was beautiful. She was young. She was innocent. She was the greatest piece of ass I've ever had, and I've had them all over the world.
You're hot. Very hot.
Well, I've got news for you. You are mine now. You belong to me.
It's time for the coolest segment on the internet. Turned On with Tina Peake from Crusher Magazine.
Y'all ready for this?
Abso-fucking-lutely.
Hola, my fellow rockers. If you were tuned in last week, then you heard part one of my two-part special feature presentation with Razor, lead singer of the heavy metal band Metal Knights, who are based out of sunny California in the U.S. For those of you that missed last week, tisk tisk, shame on you. Only kidding, but you missed a great interview. Razor spoke about how he contracted the deadly hepatitis C through a blood transfusion after being in a horrific head-on collision a few years earlier. And in 2005, when he was literally knocking on death's door, he finally received the gift of life, a liver transplant from an organ donor. We also talked about how Metal Knights was formed, with the help of a chance meeting with talented and prolific bassist Rudy Sarzo of Ozzy Osbourne, Quiet Riot, and Dio fame, and how that meeting led to a deep friendship between the two men. We also spoke about the importance of organ donation and how all of us can play a role in saving another person's life by simply signing the back of your driver's license as an organ donor. I've been signing my card for years, and believe that we can all make a difference by doing this one small gesture, our last goodwill on earth, to save even one person's life. Don't forget, if there are any segments you missed, visit me on MySpace at www.myspace.com/cheekypeek. I'm the musician's rock journalist on there, and you'll find my podcast on the site with all my past interviews, including last week's segment with Razor. This week, I will be featuring another new song off Metal Knights' as-yet-unreleased album. It's the title track called World of Forever, and at the end of the show, I will be playing one of my personal favorites, which was actually remixed for the new album, called The Gates of Hell, Hope Springs Infernal, which also features Craig Goldie on guitar. I really love that song. You can find my friends Metal Knights on their website at www.themetalknights.com. Knights is spelled KNIGHTS, or you can find them on MySpace at www.myspace.com/metalknightsmusic. So let's get right to it then. Here is part two of my special feature presentation with Razor of Metal Knights.
Who are the other band members, and how did you all meet?
Well, actually, the drummer of the band, Dave Krause, I was at a big motion capture studio for 3D movies up in I think it was like Marina Del Rey, and I went there to a private party with Rudy Sarzo, and while I was there, Rudy introduced me to Dave, and Dave was this, you know, great guy, had this real rock and roll look. And then I found out that he was great at visual effects. We had actually worked for the same person that he was working. He was working on the movie Barnyard at that time, which was done by Steve Oderkirk, which I had worked for Steve Oderkirk back in the 90s. And so, I guess maybe a year or two went by, and then all of a sudden, I ran into Dave again. And he came to me and he was like, if you hear of anybody that's looking for a drummer, he said, I'm looking to start playing again, you know, with somebody serious. And lo and behold, the very next day, the drummer that I had originally had in Metal Knights up and quit, as did just about everybody else, because I think they started to see that I was very serious about this and I wanted to take it to the next level. And this, you know, Dave saying that, I called him right up the next day and I said, you remember how you were telling me that you wanted to get start drumming again. I go, how would you like to do it with me and do it with Metal Knights? And he was all for it. And he just happened to know some great, phenomenal professional musicians who also work in the television and movie industry. And the next thing you know, we kind of reformed the band. But when we did it this time, boy, did it make a huge difference. Now we had professional players who were serious about it and who knew how to write music, understood music theory. And I had, in the interim, met Craig Goldie, who is the guitar player from Dio.
Right.
Works with Rudy.
Right.
And Craig became, he actually came to one of our shows, which was a benefit for Tawn Mastery before she had passed away. And he got up on stage and played with us at the end of the night. And the next day, he called me and he said, you know, I think you really have something. And he goes, how would you like to really take it to the next level? And I was like, are you kidding me? That's my dream. And he said, all right. He said, well, you know, and then he told me about his program, Destiny Bridge. And I think it was like an hour later, because he doesn't live far from me, he was over at my house and we started writing music. You know, it's just another one of those things that happened along the way that was just like, you know, wow, these things don't happen every day, you know.
Right.
They were happening in my life now, post-transplant. And since then, Craig Goldie has just been, you know, he's been our producer, and he's been an integral part. So, but the members of our band started with Dave Krause on drums, and then he brought Paul Calder, he brought Danik Thomas, and he brought them to the band, the guitar player and the bass player. And then we found our other guitar player, Billy King, through, we put an ad out in the music trades, and he had played out professionally with some very big names. And then we went on this huge hunt for the right keyboard player, and luckily we found Adam Emmons, who's just this young hotshot. He's like 27 years old and really a prodigy. He's been playing the keyboard since he was like 18 months old. And actually won several awards when he was very young and ended up getting a scholarship, full scholarship, and just very classically trained in the keyboards. And just brought this huge, great element to the band and really completed everything. And then we had our lineup, and that was, you know, that was over a year and a half ago, and since then, we've been going strong, you know.
Right.
And we put out an EP. The EP made some noise, and people loved it and bought it. You know, we got things started happening. We won some awards last year based on that EP. And then we decided, you know what, I think it was April of last year, it'll be a year ago this month, we decided, you know what, we ought to write and put out a full-blown album. And that's when we talked to Craig Goldie, and we wrote the album. We did some demos. We gave them to Craig. Craig listened to them, and he said, oh, my God, I'd love to produce this. And we couldn't think of anybody better because of our relationship with him, and he ended up producing the new album. It's called World of Forever.
Right.
And we just finished it up, like, last Monday. And, it, you know, it's been a year-long project, but I think it was every minute of it was worth it as we listen back to it now and get ready to unleash it on the world. We're very proud of what we've been able to accomplish, and it's just, you know, for me, it's just icing on the cake because I should not be here, you know, and I'm here, and I'm doing what I want, and I'm actually living my dream. And that's just, it all goes back to saying thank you to that person that donated their organ.
So now that the mixing is finally done for World of Forever, do you have a release date that will, that a release date, and what will the first single be off World of Forever? Do you know yet?
Well, the music industry has changed so much now, as you know. We actually have had, we were lucky enough to sign with a major management firm. Hunt Talent Management. Our manager is the head of that firm, Tammy Hunt, and she's been in contact with several record labels, as has Craig Golding. And so right now they're all taking a look at us, and they're waiting to hear this new album, the master from it. So it's, you know, we could go out and release it on our own, but we truly believe to take this the right way and do it the right way. Unlike, and we have nothing against the indie route. I mean, indie music is great, and you know, there's a lot that people are doing with it. But we feel for this band and what we have to offer, we really need the support of a record label, and one that is going to be behind us and realize that we're hard workers, and we're not just going to sit on our laurels, but, you know, we really believe full force in what we do, and we don't plan on just sitting around on our butts, but we plan on really take, you know, working this band for all it's worth and taking it every step that we can further and further. And we also understand that the record companies are there for a reason still, and they do have something to offer. And but we also understand how they work, which I don't think a lot of people realize, and that is that record companies have a huge overhead, and they have to pay their bills for a whole year before they can even think about signing a new act. And we understand that. So, you know, it's like we're trying to just do things a step at a time the right way. And the fact that we have had some offers from different labels has been a great thing. So we're hoping now that when they hear this new finished master that we've just done, that hopefully the ball will keep rolling. And if for some reason the labels don't bite, then yes, we'll end up probably releasing it on our own and going from there. But I do believe that the first single will be The Enforcer. It has been, we've already sent it out to a lot of radio, the feedback has been great on it. People are starting to request it and stuff, so I think it's, I think there's several. We didn't want to just put an album together, Tina, that had one or two or three good songs. We wanted to make every song special and have meaning. And I think we accomplished that. And I think that's why we spent so much time doing it. And I think, you know, perfecting it and then re-perfecting it until we couldn't really do much more to it. You know, you get to a point where it's like a child. You finally got to cut it loose and say, okay, you know, it's your time to go, yeah, and good luck in the world. And I think that's kind of how we feel about this project and this album.
Well, I know that you sent me some songs from World of Forever, and I have to say they blew me away. I love them. And I was wondering if the writing for the new album was different than for your debut EP, The Crossing. And if so, how was it different?
Yes, it was a little different. I mean, even though we used the same formula, the EP was basically written by Craig Goldie and myself. We were the two main songwriters on that. Whereas on the new album, everybody in the band had input. And that was really a great thing to experience, as well as Craig himself. Craig actually has songwriting credits too. And so it was a very combined effort on everybody's part, which was great to have, because this is, this is such a good thing, and I'm so happy that I can say this, and I've said it before in interviews. This is the first group of musicians I've ever played with where there's no drama in the band, there's no infighting, we all get along and we're all having a good time. The guys in the band know what I've been through in my life, they know the fight that I've fought, and they're behind it 110%, and we just got this real camaraderie, and we treat it like a family, and I think that makes a big difference. You know, it's not like we're all out like, oh, who's going to get credit for this, or who's going to get credit for that. No, it's like we're all going to get credit, and we're all going to move forward. It's not about one person. It's not about another. a lot of times in the beginning, after the EP was released, I do interviews on radio or in magazines, and I'd hear the term Razor and Metal Mites, and I used to have to stop people and go, no, this is not about me. This is about the band. It's Metal Mites. Razor is just the lead vocalist, okay? Yeah, I had a transplant. This is my second chance at life, and that's a great story, but the real story here is that this group of musicians fit together, are a real unit. We all like each other. We love each other, and we want to move forward as this same unit. And I think that's what's been really special about the way we put this new album together.
Right, it's a team effort.
Yes, and I think it's got to be. I know there's other bands where, you know, certain people are the songwriters. That's just the way it is.
Right.
You know, nobody else gets a chance to have an input. Whereas in this band, we always, it's like whoever has an idea, bring it to the table, we'll flesh it out, we'll work on it together, and we'll get it out. You know, if it's good, we'll put it on there. And that's just how we approached this album, and it worked out great.
Do you have a favorite song? I know that the album's new and all your songs are going to be your favorites for one reason or another, but do you have a particular favorite off the new album? And if so, which one and why?
Oh, boy, that is such a tough question, because as we were mixing over the several months we were mixing, I would be sitting there with Craig Goldie as he's behind the console producing, and we'd hear a final mix of one of the songs and go, oh, that's our new favorite, you know? Just because it sounded so good. So that's a very good question. But I do have several favorites on there for different reasons. But right now, I would have to say World of Forever, the title track, just because of the lyrics and what it the story that it tells. I'm all about, when it comes to writing, and I write on all the lyrics mostly, except for one song on the album, is that, you know, it's got to be visual. You know, like I told you, I worked in television and movies for a long time. And for some reason, to me, music and the visual aspect of music, they go hand in hand. I want people, when they close their eyes or they listen to our music, that they can see a movie in their head based on what they're listening to. And not only lyrically, but musically. And I think that's how I approach songwriting, and I think that is why World of Forever, right now, is my favorite off of the album. It's just the lyrics, for some reason, as Craig Goldie pointed out, he couldn't believe when I gave him the final draft of the lyrics, he was very much blown away by the content of them, and he was like, where did you go inside your mind to pull this out? And I was like, I don't know, it just came to me, you know, we came up with this title, World of Forever, and I had to really sit there and think about, what is a world of forever? You know, is it a place where we live forever, or is it a dream world? Is it a little bit of both? Is it some place that we all wish we could live? You know, and I had to ask those questions in order to find the answers to write the lyrics. And what I came up with, I gotta say, kind of blew myself away. And I'm not patting myself on the back, I'm just saying that I was really shocked at the way the story flowed. And you gotta remember, every song lyrically is a story. That's the way I've always looked at music. And, you know, there's been bands throughout the years where, you know, especially during the 80s Hollywood glam scene, where it was, you know, basically about how many chicks can you get, how drunk can you get, and can you get arrested? You know, well, that's great for them. But for me, I wanted it to be more about, let's be storytellers about all these mystical different type of things, and let's put a middle ages spin on it, if you want to call it that. And so that's where a lot of the lyrics came from in this song, and on the album.
Did a lot to them, but Death Defier
Miracle in Disguise and The Gates of Hell are all personal songs for me.
Yeah, I particularly like The Gates of Hell. That's just incredibly personal, I found.
Yeah, because, you know, and I don't know, I don't even know if I believe in this, but I've never, you know, I am a believer in God. I know that there is somebody greater than all of us, whatever you want to call him. I do believe that, you know, there's somebody up there that's watching over us. And I've always kind of kept that. Religion to me is a personal thing. And I've kept it to myself and share it with my family, and that's about it. I'm not one of these ones to go out and, you know, I'm not a holy roller. But at the same time, when I died one of those times on the table, and I couldn't tell you which one it was, I was out for quite a while. And some things happened to me in that period of time that I don't know if, to this day, if it was real, if it was the fact that I was probably pumped full of a lot of medication at the time to try to save my life, or if I hallucinated it. But I felt like I had been to the gates of hell and to the gates of heaven. And the first place that I was in this experience was the gates of hell. But I wasn't allowed entry. I had people behind me trying to push me in, and there was this gigantic figure standing at the gate, shaking his head no. And with a flash of an eye, just like that, a snap of a finger, I was standing before a golden mountain in heaven. And I wanted to incorporate those lyrics somehow.
And so I really felt like I had seen this golden mountain after I had been to the gates of hell. And it went from being in a place that was incredibly ruthless and brutal to being in a place that was peaceful and quiet. In fact, so quiet it was like the vacuum of outer space. There was absolutely no sound, but it was peaceful. And there was a golden mountain, and in front of it were my parents. And my dad left this earth in a wheelchair. He contracted polio in 1952 during the Korean War. So for 50 years of his life, he was in a wheelchair. And here was my dad standing with my mother in front of this golden mountain. And it was the minute I kind of realized, uh-oh, am I where I think I am? Is when I woke up. And like I said, I don't know if that happened, if it was a hallucination, if it was the drugs I was on as they were trying to save my life. But in that period, I experienced something. And I felt that when it came time to write music about what I'd been through, that was it. And, you know, Craig Goldie came up with the idea of the song Death Defier. It said that, you know, you are the Death Defier. And I thought that was a great title for a name. And, you know, we put it on the back burner and we ended up writing about it, and it was kind of like a song where I could actually, okay, I'd already talked about the gates of hell and what I went through with that. I talked about, you know, the golden mountain and miracle in disguise, because to me, that's what having my transplant was. It was a miracle in disguise, and because it came out of nowhere. You know, they had basically said, you're going to die tomorrow. And bang, the next thing you know, here comes an organ. So to me, it was a miracle in disguise. And then Death Defier was basically a song, since we are a heavy metal band, to kind of say, you know what? I faced death and I kicked its butt. And I'm very thankful that I did. And so those three songs are somewhat, you know, incredibly personal to me. And it's amazing that some of the songs that are on this new album, there's another song called Last Goodbyes that Paul Calder wrote that, you know, kind of fits into that theme too, where, you know, some of the lyrics to that song are always say your last goodbyes, because you never know when you walk out that door, if you're gonna, you know, come back. So you always need, you know, and it was just really bizarre. Here's this new guy comes into the band and has this song already written, knew nothing of what I had been through, yet he had this song called Last Goodbyes. And I was just like, wow, this was meant to be. So there are a lot of songs on there that are personal.
Yeah. Oh, I can tell you from listening and knowing your story and having read about it, and I listened to the lyrics, and it just kind of blew me away.
Well, I'm glad it did, and I'm hoping that the rest of the people will see that. But not only that, I hope they'll enjoy it, and I hope that, you know, we all hope in the band that they'll find themselves being able to, for, you know, 50, 55 minutes, however long the album is, to sit back and take this little trip with us and have a little visual and audio experience, you know.
Yeah.
That was our goal.
Razor, have you found that metal is finally making a resurgence in North America? Because for a while it seemed that metal wasn't being given the attention or respect and credit that it deserves.
I surely do. In fact, in Canada, it's amazing right now. You know, I subscribe to a magazine out of Canada called BWNBK.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm just blown away. Every time I get an issue of that, it's like I can't wait to rip it open. Because it's like Canada really gets it, you know? It's like they get it so much, they got this great magazine devoted to it. And I've done a lot of interviews with stations in Canada over the last year that are all about heavy metal. So, and I think it's never really died, Tina. I think it's never really died, even in North America. I think it just kind of took a hiatus for a little while to try to take a breather. It's never really gone away. No, in Europe it's never gone away, and I don't think it ever will. Japan, it's never gone away. South America, places around the world where you just can't. People have tried to put a stomp heavy metal out, but it's the one genre of rock and roll that they just can't kill. And I think here in the U.S., we are starting to see a gigantic resurgence. We're starting to get more of the festivals again. A lot of the big groups are coming, and all, you know, time and time again, they're coming back, you know, and I just think it's great to see that, yes, it is making a comeback, and I think it's going to, this time around, I think it's going to be a little bit different, and I think that, you know, there's all these subgenres of heavy metal now, and, but, you know, like you had stated in the beginning, our influences are more of the new wave of British heavy metal from the early 80s. We're very influenced by the European sound that came out of that time. Bands like Judas Priest, Iron Maiden, Dio, Rainbow, Deep Purple. Those are the bands, you know, as well as new bands that have come out that are much harder edged. For a lot of their keyboard influences, like Dimmu Borgir and Typo Negative and all these other bands. And we figure if you put all this into a big pot and stir it around, something's going to come out of it. And we put our own original spin on everything. That's very important to us because we just don't want to rehash what somebody else has done. You know, we want to make this our own. And that's always been number one with us. And I think that's what we're accomplishing. And it's just, you know, we're very lucky that we have four very talented artists in the band when it comes to the visual effects and television and movie world. And so creating the marketing and things like that to go along with it. And our mascots are Godfrey and all this other stuff, you know. The whole theme behind Metal Knights, I think, visually, has been an important part. So it's been a blast doing what we're doing right now. So.
I love your mascot, Sir Godfrey. I was going to ask you about it. Who came up with that? I just love the artistry in that.
Actually, I did. I did a lot of research, and I went into, you know, like I said, I studied medieval history and literature. And it always stuck with me. On the, you know, when they put out like a movie like Braveheart or Excalibur or Kingdom of Heaven, I'm the first one at the theater to watch it. You know, I'm constantly reading. I have a library that's filled with books about the Crusades and the Middle Ages and, you know, what happened here and what happened there and when it happened. And, you know, I even know that in 2010, there's a great movie coming out called 1066, which is about the big turning point in the, you know, in the Middle Ages. It's probably strange to some people that I would know that, you know, but it's just one of those things, you know. I'm a buff of history, and I figured incorporated it into the music. And so I came up with Sir Godfrey because I knew that we needed something visual, like I said. And, you know, I looked at the other bands out there. I looked, you know, hey, Iron Maiden has Eddie. Look what they've done with Eddie, you know. Eddie is a national, not a national, a worldwide phenomenon, and he's a hero, right? And Dio has Murray. All these bands have their little mascots, you know, that represent the image of the band. So I started to think, well, he's got to be medieval. He's got to be a knight. And he's got to be scary looking. But yet also stands for some good. And I started to think, and I started to break out all my old history books and look through them. I'm like, what are we going to call this guy? And then I remembered Sir Godfrey. The real Sir Godfrey in history was this great knight who stood for what he really believed in. And I felt that everything that I had read about the real Sir Godfrey represented heavy metal in some way. And I said, you know what? This guy's got to be, Sir Godfrey's a great name. And when you translate the name, it means godlike in war. And I thought, yeah, we're on a crusade to bring back heavy metal. Who better than Sir Godfrey to lead the way? And so with the help of one of the animators that works with me, a very talented artist by the name of Jeff Clifton, we ended up sketching out. I came up with this rough idea. Jeff added his 3D modeling skills, and we tweaked it together, and we came up with this great character that has now, you know, we get hit from all over the world on our website. You know, when are the T-shirts with Sir Godfrey coming out? When can we get this with Sir Godfrey? You know, I mean, he's become this kind of icon for the band, and that's what we had hoped for. But, and he also, we felt it was important he make a guest appearance on the album. And so he's actually in the song The Enforcer. The Enforcer is about him. And so he actually does, he has a vocal bit in that song.
It's very cool.
Yeah, we just felt that it was, you know, something that if we did that, it would probably help the band along the way. It would show a little bit more professionalism. And marketing-wise, it also helps, you know. We feel he's very marketable, and therefore that would add to the success of the band. I mean, you know, we don't do anything just on a whim in this band. We kind of really think it out. We all seem to have the same degree of intelligence, which is great. Some of us more. In fact, Adam, our keyboardist, 27, is, you know, walks around with a T-shirt that says genius by birth, slacker by choice. And it's basically the truth. The kid sometimes is astounding with, you know, the things he comes up with. And it's just, I think we all can sit down and talk about things in, you know, amongst each other in this band, and we can all see the vision and then act on it. And so, you know, Sir Godfrey is a big, important part of that, you know, and he means something to us.
So now, tell our listeners where they can find Metal Knight. Do you have a website, MySpace site that you can give us on the air?
Absolutely. We've got the official website, which is www.themetalknights, and that's KNIGHTS.com. And then we have our MySpace, which is myspace.com/metalnightsmusic. And if you go to either one of those, you'll find out how you can first, you can buy the EP worldwide, and you can hopefully soon buy the new album. And then also, you can sample the music on the MySpace and listen to the new stuff, and check out some videos that from the 2008 Star Music Awards that were done here in Hollywood, where we won Best New Artist of the Year. And you know, we've just kind of made it this historical biography, the MySpace, that is, of what the band has been through since its inception. And we wanted to make it, we're very big on making, you know, we understand the internet, we understand where it's going, and, you know, we wanted to give it that user-generated content feel, and us being the people generating the content, and, you know, it's I think that's very important that we put it out there and people can share it. You know, people can take the video and they can say, hey, I dig this, I want to put it here, I want to put it there, you know. We're big believers in that, and so you'll find all that kind of stuff and more. I mean, we've got videos of us in the studio, and you know, there's all sorts of little tidbits that people can find out on the internet.
Is there anything else you'd like to talk about today, Razor? Anything I didn't ask you that you wanted to get out?
Well, basically, you did a very in-depth interview, and that's very refreshing. You know, I'm so happy to have had this time to talk to you, Tina. Just that, you know, if you are out there and any part of what this interview, contained, that you'll become an organ donor, you know, that you'll please give it thought and become an organ donor. Just think about it, even. Have the discussion with your family, it's not an easy thing to talk about when you have to talk about death. It never is, especially your own. But it's something that can save so many people's lives. Just one person becoming an organ donor can save like 15, 16, however many lives. There's so many parts that can, you know, go to different people and help save lives. And to helping stop this hepatitis C crisis that we're in. You know, think of how many people have had tattoos. Think of how many people have had piercings. Think of how many people have been in car accidents back when I was in a car accident that had blood transfusions. Even though, you know, they test the blood supply now. Back then they didn't. And there's people walking around, and there could very well be a person in your own family that has hepatitis C, and they don't know it. Because it's a very tricky disease. It doesn't take everybody down like it took me down and like it took Tom Mastery down. But it's out there, and it's out there in huge, vast numbers. So, you know, check out the Tom Mastery Foundation. All you have to do is Google it and find out about that organization. Find out about Donate Life. And do something about what's going on in this world today and make a difference. And that's really something that I'd like to get across, you know. And we did touch on that. You said something we hadn't touched on, but that's just something that's near and dear to me. I'd also like to say thank you for the people who've come into my life since April 23rd of 2005. People like Rudy Sarzo, Craig Goldie, Pamela Moore, who did great stellar work with Queensryche as Sister Mary during the Operation Mindcrime CDs. So many just great, great people. Our manager, Tammy Hunt. There's people that have come into my life that I just can't believe I've met and have become friends with. And not just, you know, like, hey, buddy, how you doing? I'm talking about people that have even said it in, you know, I did a radio interview once with Rudy Sarzo, and I almost started crying. Because he said, you know, that I was like family to him now, We had gone beyond the friendship stage, and now it was like family. And that hit me really, really hard when somebody that was such an inspiration to me said that about me. And so I'd like to thank those people that have come into my life since my second birthday, let's call it, happened. And, and I'd love to thank my wife and daughter because, you know, it was without them, I would not be here. I know that. So, you know, those are the kind of things I'd like to say that, you know, to before we end this.
Well, Razor, I can't thank you enough for taking so much of your time. You absolutely rock. I adore you. It's been awesome. And I hope that we can still be friends and keep in touch long after this interview is done.
Absolutely, and I would love nothing more than that. And hopefully someday soon we're going to be up there in Canada and just shredding through there and rocking the hell out of the place. And I'd love to have you come down to one of the concerts and love to meet you in person.
I would love that, too. You're just such an inspiration and such a cool guy. So I wish you nothing but the best with the new album. I'll be keeping an eye out.
Sounds great. Thank you so much for the interview. I had a great time.